definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Good morning to you and yours. This is the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for Jeff, sitting alongside David Collier and Lucas White across the way, sliding slides, pushing buttons for us, taking care of us on the program as he does. You can be, he'll be the first voice you hear when you give us a call on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. You can also join in on any of the conversations we're going to get into on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at 107thescore.com or the 100.7 The Score mobile app, which you can download for free wherever those apps are downloadable from on your specific mobile device. I hate to disappoint everybody right now. Unless you're playing bagpipes on the Starship Enterprise or in a bottle that's got a JW on it, I don't care about Scotty today. I don't care. If he plays, fantastic. If he doesn't play, don't care.
I'm not.
Doesn't affect my mood. He's been arrested. If he plays, I'm done.
I'm done. I'm not quite sure what you're in referencing.
I'm done. Okay. Any other topic? Fair game today. You want to talk about how much of an idiot I am? I'm in. Not talking Scotty for 3 hours.
How about Ridley Scott?
This is a Scotty free zone. Okay. That's where we're at today. You want to talk about a Red Raider baseball game last night that I gave up in the third inning? Happy to talk about it. You want to talk about a Red Raider football team that's getting ready to start their 2024 season? And I say getting ready to because it's the off season and we start thinking about what's going to happen with football. I'm in. You want to talk about basketball recruiting? You want to talk about Rangers and Astros? You want to talk about the Mavericks and the Spurs and the Rockets and the Thunder? And no matter what you want to talk about, all other topics fair game today, we're not talking Scotty for 3 hours today. It is a Scotty-free zone. How are you boys doing?
But in hour number two, we are going to draft our favorite Scots of all time, so look forward to doing that. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm done, dude.
How was your morning?
I'm done.
How was your morning?
Like, I'm done. That's just really what it comes down to. And I get...
This is how you feel after playing a round of golf, right?
Worse. Because when I'm playing a round of golf, I'm drinking beer and trying to have a good time. I'm shooting a 900 on the front nine, but I'm trying to have a good time. I don't care. And I know the Twitter universe exploded, and I know it's breaking news. I don't care. I really don't. Lucas, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Good.
That's all you got?
Well, I'm not in jail, so that's better than some people.
Not being in jail, perfectly acceptable conversation to get into today. Because I'm not in jail. David Collier's not in jail. Lucas isn't in jail. Our listening audience probably isn't in jail either, although they could be.
I don't think Scotty Scheffler's in jail either.
I don't care. I just don't care. Sorry. I care more about what on God's green earth happened last night in the Red Raider baseball game, except that I know what happened.
Yeah.
It's one of those questions like, how does this happen? I know exactly how this happens.
Yeah.
You don't care about last night's game.
Yeah.
Newsflash, you don't care about tonight's game, either one of them.
No.
Neither one of them help you for what you're going for. You need to be good Tuesday next week.
Yeah, I think we said this the other day, but anybody that's watching the baseball game last night and they were just appalled with what happened, I get it that you're frustrated with the baseball team not being good. And in that situation, we said it earlier this week, there were going to be a lot of runs scored, and they were going to be against the Red Raiders. Parker Hutera got the edict before the game, hey, you're going at least two innings in this game today, so figure it out, let your defense play behind you, do whatever you got to do, because you're not coming out. We got to get two innings out of you. Hopefully we get more.
We'd like to get, six out
of
you. But
yes, but
we're getting two.
Well, when you're talking to a guy that basically is a reliever, you expect two. You certainly want a lot more. And he struggled through two and gave up eight runs along the way. And and I expect more of that, unfortunately. That's what's coming today. I mean, because how many pitchers? I don't even know how many pitchers they ended up using. It was way too many.
Yeah, but when you give up 21 runs in seven innings,
yeah.
You're going to use some pitchers.
And that's and I know this is kind of the protocol sometimes with stuff, but usually in series, especially weekend, air quote
right.
series. And I know
I was a little surprised.
Yeah, they usually do it for the – but saying that, part of the thing was, one, hey, we're playing a doubleheader tomorrow. Both of them were probably playing two because I know that this was originally, according to Tim Tadlock, this was originally just going to be a UNLV Arizona State series.
Oh, okay. And, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and when Tech got their Big 12 schedule and realized, hey, we don't have a Big 12 series at the very end, whatever they had – scheduled otherwise had to go out the window, and they called and like, hey, can we make this like a round robin thing? And they're like, oh, sure, come on out. So they were probably very accommodating with a lot of it, and I'm sure Tim went into it like, hey, look, we got no pitching. You guys are probably going to knock it around the yard a little bit.
Enjoy batting practice.
When they're standing there at the plate with the head coach, Willie Bloomquist or whatever, he's like, let's just agree to do the run rule thing.
And it's... it's uncommon for it to be the first game of a series, for sure. But again, it's also, they know what's going on right now. Both coaches do. You are also playing two other teams this weekend. Well, I guess you're playing one other team this weekend. So you don't want to have one game that goes 17 innings, while, you know, 17 hours while you're getting a completely bashed in by one team or the other. And then turn around and have to play another game the next day. Early or late, depending on the situation goes. So, yeah, totally made sense. But when I went to bed at 11-3 last night in the third inning, I was fully expecting to have to wake up at around midnight or so and fix a commercial log because they would still be playing.
Yeah.
And no, the broadcast was already over at that point. So I was like, oh, boy, either something awesome happened or something terrible happened. I don't know which. Pulled up the score and went, oh, that's what happened. That goes in the terrible category. Jeff, you're my hero. Had enough of golf.
Don't read the next one.
No, it's completely fair. I'm happy to talk about all of these all day long today. Jeff, you have a chance for a lot of listeners this morning, and you're trying to drive them away? No, I'm trying not to tell them something that they already know. I don't know what I'm talking about with golf. I am not the person you want to hear talking about golf. I don't play golf very well and don't play it often enough to even have a clue. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. I'm trying to do you a favor. That's what I'm trying to do.
I disagree with you there. You're trying not to listen to what you had to listen to the last 3 hours.
I mean, that's part of it.
Because
sure.
I did tell you this off air, and then we can do whatever we do. You're not technically talking about golf in this situation.
No, this is breaking news story.
Yeah.
And listen, if something comes down, mm-hmm. like that he's been kicked out of the tournament, then that's something that we'll discuss for a few minutes because that's news.
What if he tees off? Because his tee time's supposed to be 2 minutes ago.
The plan was for him to tee off this morning, right? Before he got to work? Everything is going as planned if he teed off.
Before it changed.
Would we have given his tee off time if he hadn't gotten in trouble this morning?
We would have given a Ludwig.
Exactly. I'm happy to talk about Ludwig all day long.
He doesn't tee off till 12:18.
All the more reason. Let's get him started.
Bottom line talk there. We got Scotty Scheffler talk coming your way the next 2 hours and 50 minutes.
No, we just absolutely do not. We will hit you with the headlines on the way with what you need to know. On the way next, on the end of the bench at 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Rolling through your morning here on the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for Haxton today, sitting alongside David Collier and Lucas White across the way, sliding slides, pushing buttons for us. You can get in on the Yates Learning Center chat line at 107thescore.com like Bullfighter did. And I'm only bringing this up because I think he forgot something.
I think he had it, but it was way down the list of because he originally sent a picture. So maybe that's what it was.
Oh, was it that picture?
It must
be. The mugshot one?
It must be the Shooter McGavin, welcome to the club.
Top left Snead, yeah. Top right Hacks, bottom left Choice, bottom right DC. Did he change those pictures? I thought it was those just the mugshot.
Those are the actual mugshots. Yeah, those are the actual mugshots of those four individuals.
Well, there we go. If that's what happened, then he didn't miss it. It just got separated by a significant amount of time.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, there's the face swap. Okay, there's the picture I was looking for.
Choice.
You know, there's something about Haxton there that is a lot fantastic. That
what I've learned with Haxton's face, it works better than most on face swaps. Like, he legitimately looks like that would be what he would look like 90% of the time. I think you could put it on three of those individuals, and it would look exactly like...
It would look a little weird on Tiger.
Yes, that's why I went with three.
Three of the individuals, yeah. They would look a little weird, but that'd be the only reason.
He has similar hair to Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he's not listening right now.
He's not. So remember the other day we were talking about my quarterback stat with the NFL draft, that there are four quarterbacks that have played in a Super Bowl since 2010 that were not drafted in the first two rounds of the NFL draft. Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Jimmy G, and Brock Purdy. Those are the four that were not drafted in the first two rounds of the NFL draft to play in a Super Bowl. And then we had the conversation, and it was like a backside of that, where I was like, I need to find out the next, because you don't want to just draft a quarterback every year in the draft trying to just keep hitting one. You need it to be successful. So what were those numbers like? Well, guys, I have done more research on the topic. And surprised, to say the least, on some of this.
Okay.
I was shocked to find out the Dallas Cowboys, and I did this going back to 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I went all the way back for the first two rounds of the NFL draft. I am not perfect. So if you go through this and find one that I got wrong, I am happy to correct this. I have not double cross-checked this with each individual team's draft.
Yeah.
I was looking for QBs drafted in the first two rounds of the NFL draft and adding those two. I absolutely could have missed one because they were a cornerback and not a quarterback, like as I was going through them. But did you – and I'm going to have you rewind time before I showed this to you yesterday.
Okay. You think I remember this?
No, you do.
From 24 hours
ago. This you would.
Okay.
I was shocked to find out the Dallas Cowboys drafted a quarterback in the first two rounds since 2000.
Yeah.
I was shocked. Could have knocked me over with a feather when I saw Quincy Carter was a second-round pick.
Yeah. I don't remember him being that high. I remember going to Cowboys training camp and covering him.
Sure.
And him obviously being a big deal briefly, but it was kind of surprising to me as well.
Shocked. You literally, I stared at it going, there's no way that says two next to it. There's no way that's right. And almost wanted to go back and rewatch draft coverage to make sure it was right. That's how shocked I was. So the Cowboys have drafted a quarterback in the first two rounds since 2000. Shocking.
Yeah.
There are two teams in the NFL that have not drafted a quarterback in the first two rounds since the year 2000. Both of them making a Super Bowl appearance since 2000.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a hint on one of them.
Okay.
One of them is very early in this list. One of them, oddly enough, conveniently works with the other quarterback stat that I have given out.
So one of them is...
I think I know one of them.
I think I know one of them. You want to let's count to three and three, say
two, one.
49ers.
Saints. Not the 49ers. They have the 49ers have made since 2000 have drafted three quarterbacks.
Yeah, because Trey Lance
in the first two rounds.
Yeah, Trey Lance was in the first round, wasn't he?
And they've also made three Super Bowl appearances since 2000. Haven't won them.
Yeah,
but they've been, and that's what we're talking about here: being in the Super Bowl.
My reasoning was, Drew Brees was with the Chargers. Then he tried to go to the Dolphins. Nick Saban and their medical people said that he wasn't clear, so he went to the Saints.
The Saints is the correct is one correct answer.
Yeah, and then he won a Super
Bowl. The Saints have not drafted a quarterback in the first two rounds and have a Super Bowl appearance. They're the early one in this list.
Appearance or a win?
Appearance.
Appearance. Okay, so the other one could have lost, and it sounds like maybe they did lose.
The other one won and lost.
Oh, so they've done it twice. Huh. 49ers, no.
This is the one that conveniently works with the other list that I have brought out. There are four quarterbacks who were not drafted in the first two rounds of the NFL draft to make a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the Patriots, because I think we kind of discussed Jimmy G being somebody that was drafted high. I don't know that he was drafted in the first round, though.
He was not drafted in the first two rounds.
So it's the Patriots.
It is not the Patriots. The Patriots have drafted a quarterback.
Oh, because I...
Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac Jones.
Three times in the first two rounds.
The same thing.
Since 2000. The second name on the list, Russell Wilson. The Seattle Seahawks not drafted a quarterback in the first two rounds, and they've appeared in the Super Bowl three times.
Which is the same exact
since
thing.
Since the year 2000.
I mean, well, he just got drafted. Yeah, because Matt Flynn was supposed to be the starter. And Yeah.
Now, if I think of drafting a quarterback in the first two rounds of the NFL draft, what team immediately jumps out as the team that would be on the top of this list for the most amount of times?
Commanders.
That's a good answer.
The Browns.
They've done it five times. The Browns was my immediate thought on this.
Yeah.
Also just five times, but not the top of this list. The tippity top of this list, with zero Super Bowl appearances since 2000, and technically only one Super Bowl appearance ever,
would be the Minnesota Vikings.
No, the New York Jets drafting six quarterbacks since 2000 in the first two rounds.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a... If you give us a little more time, we probably would have been good. Okay, who's the awful people? Yeah, you've got Sanchez, Zach Wilson.
I mean, the list goes on. I wasn't going to write down all of these.
I don't blame you.
But the some numbers that just jumped out. Titans have drafted two quarterbacks, no Super Bowl appearances since 2000. Colts, two Super Bowl appearances, but also two quarterbacks drafted in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
The two Super Bowl appearances were not with the quarterbacks that they drafted in the first two rounds since 2000. Because that was Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck and one other. I can't remember who the other guy is off the top of my head. I want to say second round pick, but I could be wrong on that.
Unless it's Anthony Richardson and they're counting that. But
The two Super Bowls were with...
Oh, Super Bowl-wise. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Peyton Manning, yeah. But he was not the quarterback that was drafted in the first two rounds between now and 2000. And obviously, there's some on here that kind of snuck in that hadn't drafted a quarterback but one time until very recently, and then made a Super Bowl appearance, and now they've made four of them.
Somebody that's made four Super Bowls recently?
They drafted a quarterback in the first round, but has only drafted one quarterback in the first round, or first two rounds. This was a first-round pick.
See, that's the sad thing. Oh, okay. There we go.
The Kansas City Chiefs have drafted one quarterback since 2000 in the first two rounds and made four Super Bowl appearances.
I was trying to think of how many. Yeah, and that was the one that I didn't even think of, because I was like, that team has made three that I know of, and obviously the Patriots. But yeah, didn't even think about Pat.
Steelers are 2-3. Two quarterback drafted, three Super Bowl appearances. Ben Roethlisberger was part of both numbers of that list.
Mm-hmm.
Broncos have drafted five quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But also made two Super Bowls in that time frame with Peyton Manning as their starting quarterback. Yeah. Like, that's kind of, as I was going through this list, like, there were a lot of those little things that just kept popping up that I was like, so weird. This list is going to come back out at some point as we continue to add to it. But
don't lose
Bills, Dolphins, Jets. What do they all have in common other than playing in the same division as the Patriots? No Super Bowl appearances since the year 2000. Not a shocking thing when the Patriots have been to nine.
This is the Jets year, man. This is the Jets year. Go look at their schedule.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Rolling through your morning here on the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Thoughts off the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Lucas, put it on your registry. My husband put an Xbox on ours. Most of the time, you can buy things at a discount if it's not bought off the registry for the wedding. At least it was that way many years ago. So don't take my advice. Just know that I'm not buying you NCAA football off your registry.
Totally understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as that's cool, Dad, yes. You know, whatever. I don't care. I was trying to think of something cool to put on your registry. And, like, nothing was jumping out that I was like, this would be a really – it's – and not an underrated cool thing, but to get, because people are going to get you towels. They're going to get, you know, and you're an adult. You've got most of these things. Like, that's the other thing. Like, we were put way back when before I got divorced, when I got married, we were looking at things to put on the register. Like, what are we going to put on this thing? Like, we have dishes. We have towels. We have all of these things. I don't even remember what was on our registry. I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you a cool item that went on it.
I can tell you a lot of stuff that we got that we still have that we've rarely used. I can tell you that. Speaking of pack rat.
I don't think I have anything from that registry. I think it all went the other direction.
Other direction? Wow.
No, I take it back. I've got almost all of one of the items. I got to keep the knife set. I don't know how I got to keep the knife set, but I didn't get to keep the shears. The shears disappeared. I don't know why they disappeared. I know I don't have them, and it ain't worth going after.
No.
That's all I'm saying. What console does Lucas own from Bullfighter off the 8th Story Center Chatline?
I have an Xbox, the newest Xbox that Casey bought me last year for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Well, yeah. from my understanding, it's only on the next generation things anyway, right?
Yeah, and you can cross-play.
Yeah.
So if you got a PS5 or the Xbox S, X, or whatever it is, you can play each other.
PC Master Race. That's all I'm saying. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I just want
to... I'm not, but I am.
Let you know, this is for Clint's T-shirt stand. I realize he's probably busy in production right now.
Sure.
But a picture of two gentlemen on the golf course. I can only guess at Valhalla wearing Scotty Scheffler shirts
with the
mugshot. And then Prison Scotty, like Prison Mike from The Office.
Sure.
Just an update from Valhalla.
We'll send it
back to you in the studio.
There we go. Appreciate that update. Guys, pull up the Texas Tech football schedule for a minute. And, you know, we're going to look at this a thousand ways between now and the season kicking off on August 31st against Abilene Christian. So we're going to look at it this way right now. I need two different answers for this. If it's the same answer, I have questions about you. Just to be clear. I'm a little worried about how you answer if it's the same answer for both. I need a three-game stretch that you feel really good about, and you can determine however the good is, and a three-game stretch that you do not like. So three that you like and three that you don't like. And again, this is why if you said the same stretch, I have issues with that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Three-game stretch each way. Which way do you want to go first, David?
I'm going to go with the three-game stretch that I feel good about.
You feel good about. Yes. Go ahead.
We'll go ahead and start there. And just to avoid the easy one, I'm not going to say the first three games of the year. I think that I know there's a road game in there. But
I'm a little worried about the first road game.
I'm not necessarily worried about that. So instead, I will start with North Texas, the anti-Chuck Hines here. I don't think Eric Morris and company are going to have much of a shot in that game. Feel great about that, and I feel pretty good and confident that you'll be 3-0 at that point. Not really high on Arizona State like most people. You go ahead and look at the...
Well, they scored 21 points last night, so we should maybe give them a little bit of credit.
Yeah, that's true. I might even go ahead and say that the baseball team scored more runs last night than the football team will at Jones Stadium on September 21st. And then following that up with another first-time conference opponent in Cincinnati. Again, a three-game home stretch there with the possibility of being 5-0. I feel good about that for the Red Raiders.
I look at the schedule, and that's probably the better answer than what I've got. But there's something about your last three games that I sit there and look at, and I know going to Stillwater has been a plus-minus for you. You've either done really well there or not done well there at all. And there's very little in between.
Yeah.
And I look at that as a game that could define who is playing in the Big 12 championship between those two teams, between Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. I could absolutely see that being on the line there.
Yeah.
So there's a level of importance for that game. But I look at the game before, Colorado at home, and the game after, West Virginia at home. And I don't think West Virginia is going to be any good. I think last year was a building block for sure, but I don't know that it's going to be the rule for what they've got out there.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of things went right for West Virginia that they should be given credit for, and I do give them credit for it. That a lot of things got turned around, but I don't think that's going to be who they are year in and year out.
No, I agree with you.
So that being that said, the last three games with a chance to play in a Big 12 championship on the line in one of them, I really like that last stretch. Your stretch makes more sense.
Yes.
100% if we're just talking wins. But as exciting football, end of the year football at Jones Stadium twice, with the possibility of knocking somebody out of the Big 12 championship and maybe putting yourself into it, yeah, sign me up for that right now. Absolutely in on that. Lucas, what are you thinking?
So Collier did steal the same three that I had.
No problem.
My reasoning was, so you get Arizona State and Cincinnati at home. The first two Big 12 games get you... definitely will get you started on the right foot, going 2-0, hopefully, in conference play. Exactly.
I'll just start that now.
But I think that will catapult the season, the Big 12 conference season, into the right momentum. And then going to Arizona could possibly be difficult, but I think with the confidence going into that, being 2-0 will definitely have a factor in playing in that game. So the UNT, Arizona State, and Cincinnati would be, for me, the top three favorite matchups for Tech.
Okay, so now we're going to flip this, and I'm going to change the question just a little bit. I need the three-game stretch you don't like, and tell me why it's Baylor, TCU, Iowa State.
Say that again?
I'm going to now tell me the three-game stretch you don't like, and tell me why it's Baylor, TCU, and Iowa State.
That's not my
That's not your three. No. Okay, well, I take that back. What's your three? Because that's my three. I don't like that stretch at all.
Baylor, TCU, and Iowa State.
Don't like that stretch at all. I like nothing about that stretch.
You know, if you would have given me a four-game stretch, I would have gone Arizona, Baylor, TCU, Iowa State. But
you're going Arizona, Baylor, TCU?
No.
I should let you just answer the question.
I know. Just let me answer the question, dang it. I'll tell you why I don't have TCU. I have zero faith in them doing anything. Mm-hmm. You talk about West Virginia. I have that same feeling about TCU. I do not think that they're going to be a very good football team. I think they're going to be one of the worst football teams in the conference. I could be 100% wrong. I don't care. But I don't think they're going to be good. And because of that, I can't put them on the list. I will say this as well. I do think Colorado will not be a good football team, very much so like TCU. But there happen to be two tough road games sandwiched around that Colorado game. And what the struggles that you could potentially have in Ames, Iowa, could potentially
in
carry
November.
In November.
It's early November, but still November.
It could carry over into a home game against Colorado. Do 100%. I think you're going to win that game against Colorado? 100%. But then you have to turn around and go on the road again against what you mentioned as a team that could potentially win the Big 12 title. So Iowa State, Colorado, Oklahoma State, with two road games there, is the most difficult stretch for me at this point.
You don't like that stretch. Not a fan.
I do not like that stretch.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
30 more minutes of a Scotty free zone. Because Scotty doesn't know. I'm 100.7 The Score and the End of the Bench. Jeff McGuire filling in for Jeff Haxenday, sitting alongside David Collier and Lucas White across the way, sliding slides, pushing buttons for us as he does on the program. Get your thoughts in on the 8th Flooring Center chat line at 107thescore.com or the 100.7 The Score mobile app. We were talking about the worst fans. And I'm not talking like Longhorn fans specifically. I'm not talking about like a team's fan base is the worst. But the worst type of fan.
What about fans that just live in the past?
I can't really speak to that.
I'm just saying, like, talking about 5, 10, 15 years ago and just constantly.
So now you're calling out Cowboys fans.
No, I'm just in general.
I mean, you walked into that one, Lucas.
You know what?
How about living 15 years ago and not realizing what's happened since? Maybe that.
You know what? Well, and again, unfortunately, I have to deal with that for where I went to school. But equally as annoying is the people that say you're living in the past and they have a team that is good for the first time in their history. That's equally as annoying because right now we have a better team than you. Even though we haven't played a football game, we have a better team than you. Well, that's cool, but you still have to play the games. And I'm sorry, something has to be said for some history. In my school, clearly, is probably not going to have a good year. I understand that. But they're not that far removed from having a lot of good years in a row. And while that's like 3 years ago, would you take 3 years ago being good?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So the people that say, oh, stop talking about the past, are equally as annoying to me as the people that live in the past.
I would say that the past until it was brought up to you.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying the people that say, well, you know.
I'm not the one that brought this up.
I know.
No. That's how that conversation would go. Like, listen, I realize that my team isn't as good as they were 3 years ago, but I'm not the one that brought this up.
Yeah.
You brought this conversation up.
Yeah.
I was happy not talking about it. It was how I portray you in that conversation.
Yes, I understand.
But I have a high opinion of you, David, as you know. And so does Lucas. So, you know, there's something to smile about for your day. Taking your thoughts off the 8 Scoring Center chat line, this person says, as soon as NCAA baseball is over, I will focus on the Astros and the Rangers. That's usually how it goes. Those two teams get us through the summer until football season starts.
Are you that interested in college baseball, though, if Texas Tech doesn't win the Big 12 baseball tournament? My question to you, the listener there.
I won't watch the regionals. I'll pick it back up after the super regionals. Or for the super regionals to see who's going on. I'll need one playoff bracket.
Break. Yeah.
And then I can watch again. When Tech lost in the Super Regionals, I couldn't watch Omaha because I knew how close you were.
Yeah.
Now, I know Tech is not that close right now. I'll need a regional break because I knew that we weren't there. And then I could watch the Super Regionals in Omaha and enjoy those games because a lot of it is really good baseball. Yeah. And it's some of the best baseball you'll see in a college field. Until next year's season.
Mine will be, who's in Omaha? Do I care about anybody in Omaha?
Sure.
If not, I'll see the championship series.
I'm also a baseball guy.
Oh, I
don't need a reason to watch baseball. Them playing it just makes it convenient.
Yeah. I mean, but if I have other choices, because I would rather watch the softball World Series with no connection to anybody than the Baseball World Series, personally.
You also have a lot of softball ties.
Yes.
You've got a very big softball tie that
you can get.
You are kept informed of.
Yes, but I would also, but I just for the speed of the game.
Oh, it is definitely a lot faster.
Watch softball if you have no rooting interest in it.
Yeah, I do like this time of year, though. And I'm talking about as college baseball's winding down and we're getting the summer, not just because it's, you know, Major League Baseball season, which is my favorite, but I don't have to worry about what channel I'm watching at night. I don't have to think about it. I turn the TV on, I'm watching the Rangers game.
Yeah, no, that's where, what is, I mean, there are nights we flip between two things, but the Rangers is always in there.
I don't have to worry about a flip. I can kick it on. I'll kick the radio on. I'll listen to the broadcast on the air. And just relax. And with the Stars also being on the same channel, I've gotten some Stars games that way, that it's just, it makes it easy. So it's, you don't have to worry about what channel the game is on and what time it is. You know, it's at 7:30, it's 7:07 every night. 7:10 first pitch. Okay, cool. Pre-game's at 6:30, first pitch just after 7, kick it on, I've got the game on, and it's easy time. And it's relaxed time, and it's also something I don't have to cover, what we do for Tech football and basketball and baseball, where it's the aspect of work that goes into it that is so hard to explain to people unless you've lived it for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
In 20 minutes, you figure it out. And like, you're like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Like, the only reason I didn't have to stay up for the Tech baseball game last night is because my alarm went off at 4 o'clock this morning for the show I had to produce this morning.
Yeah.
I will be staying up until the bitter end tonight with the Tech baseball game because I don't have to wake up tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock, and I need to know how what we need to talk about with this game from last night and how it leads into Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't get to turn off that game no matter how ugly it gets. Yeah. Hopefully it's ugly the other way and I'll get to celebrate when we come in on Monday.
Yeah. Well, and then you've got good things to talk about.
Sure.
Hey, like, hey, look, I almost hit for the cycle.
A win. Who knew?
Instead of saying the guy for the other team almost hit for the cycle, but he hit two home runs instead of getting the triple.
This off the 8-star center chat line. Quit living in the past, Jeff. Okay, fair enough. Okay. This from Marquise. If Tech doesn't make it, all I can watch carefree and not be mad or invested. Kind of looking forward to the tournament. Well, there you go. Another way to look at baseball going forward for NCAA. Why am I stumbling all of this? I haven't even had anything. Like, the Red Bull's still over there.
You did have a Red Bull.
It's still sealed.
Oh, okay.
Like, I haven't had it yet. It's ready and available, but
you're just thinking about it.
There's some definite thought process that goes into that right now. But it's also the, you know, just keep back and relax that you struggle with at times when you cover a sport like we have to do. And I know I'm like telling people that our job is so hard. It's not. I've busted rocks. I've dug ditches. I've been in the summer heat on a blacktop road. It's not as much like this is much more fun than those, but it's a different type of beatdown. When everybody else gets to leave the game, then you desperately would want to join them and you are still sitting there because you need to get the quote. You need to get the answer. Everybody else is out partying, and we are wrapping up what we have just done and telling everybody else what's going on. It's not as much fun as you think it can be. And when you can actually just sit back and be a fan, you cherish those moments. That's when you're like, oh, yeah, that's why I like sports. Because sports is fun when it can be fun, as opposed to the job.
Yeah.
DC looks like a softball guy, looks more like a softball guy than baseball. Same can be said about you, Jeff. I definitely am a better softball player than baseball player. There's no doubt about that. My love for baseball didn't kick in until I wasn't playing baseball anymore. I was an absolute daisy kicker in right field in Little League, 100%.
Yeah.
Couldn't have told you how many outs were going.
I didn't say I wanted to play softball. Let's just go clarify that. I wouldn't mind coaching softball.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I think we just found you a second career.
Yeah.
Think we could get you a job with Tech as an assistant coach?
Probably.
Would you rather work with the hitters or the pitchers? What do you think you'd be better at? I think you're more of a hitter guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not pitching. Yeah.
Could maybe, you throw some
maybe
bullpen
when
sessions?
I retire.
Could you throw some bullpen sessions and help some guys get their swing girls get their swings ready?
Yeah.
See? We're working on things now. Oh, yeah, we're going now. I got no idea what I would do other than just be in the way. Get your questions in for the Benchwarmers one last time this week. It's Ask the Benchwarmers on the way next on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
One more time with us here on the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff McGuire in for Jeff Haxton today, sitting alongside David Collier and Lucas White. He's the first voice you hear when you give us a call on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. Benchwarmers, it's us. What are y'all's thoughts on Chris Stapleton and him winning Male Artist of the Year at the CMAs? My initial thought on this question is you should have asked me this question like 10 years ago, and then I could give you an educated opinion. I can't tell you the last time I was worried about a CMA artist winning Artist of the Year.
I couldn't even tell you when the CMAs came out.
I think they were last night or earlier this week. I saw a lot of CMA prep coming up. Like, I still navigate close to that circle of paying attention to what's going on in country music. I'm not anti-country music, even the modern stuff. It's just not where my... what's the word I'm looking for?
Allegiances lie. We'll put it that way. How about that?
Yeah. Because I'm paying attention more to sports and having to, like, focus on it as opposed to just turning a song on and listening to it. I don't have any dedicated thoughts.
The older I get, the less I care about award shows. I've never really watched the CMAs. I grew up in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I like country music. I like Chris Stapleton. Congratulations to him.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm not saying that there's not a reason to congratulate him. I also don't know of a reason that somebody else should have won either. Like, I could make an argument for somebody else, and I would say, okay.
I couldn't even tell you who he was up against.
Yeah, I didn't know that Chris Stapleton was up for it until just now. So there's that. There have been definite times in the past, though, when you could ask me if somebody won the Artist of the Year, and I could definitely have had some thoughts about it and actually talked at length of why that person shouldn't have won, but that time has long since passed. Someone saying maybe an analyst, not sure about a coach. I don't know. I bet you could coach. If they're talking about me, definitely analyst.
I've seen some coaches out there. I know I could coach.
Fair enough. Wonderful memories of Dirk jang the heck out of LeBron in the ship. Can't wait for the sequel this year, starring Irving and Luka. Benchwarmers from...
They're going to have to get past a team called the Boston Celtics.
Maybe. So. Maybe. Celtics haven't won the East yet. They got one more series to go. Then again, the Mavericks haven't even gotten to the Western Conference Finals yet. So, maybe. They got to get past the Thunder first, which they can start doing tomorrow night. Benchwarmers from Bullfighter. What is your highest bowling score? Have you ever come close to getting a perfect game, which is a 300? The best bowling score I think I've got on my belt is 242.
Wow, that's impressive.
It was the anomaly of my bowling scores when I was like a 185 average when I was playing league with my now ex-wife. We were in several leagues at a time. We were spending a lot of time at the bowling alley. I was about a 185 average, somewhere in that area. But my best was a don't ask me how that game happened either. The whole time it happened, I kept looking, going, that struck? Cool. And I picked up that spare. There's no way I picked up that spare.
I'll be honest. I have no clue or recollection of what my best score is. But Bullfighter, there's probably a really good chance the 159 that I bowled whenever we were at the alley together is probably my highest score. I don't know. I mean, I haven't bowled that much.
Well, if you're not, like, focused on it, your first goal is to break 100.
Yeah.
Like, and anybody, if we were just all going up there, I'm not trying to break 100 in three frames. Like, that's not where, when I was doing that 240, I technically broke 100 in three frames.
Clint Scott on the H Flooring Center chat line for you.
Benchwarmers, if there was a time traveler from 10 years in the past and asked you about the CMA Awards, what would your thoughts have been? I'd have to see who won the awards 10 years ago and actually been remembering what we were talking about then, Clint. But 10 years ago, I was paying attention to all of that. I had to.
You know, I was really pumped that Luke Bryan won Album of the Year. Still questionable that Miranda Lambert should have won for Platinum Song of the Year, but Casey Musgrave... Brandi Clark and Shane McNally. Sure, I was all excited about all of those people. Thank you, Twitter. I don't even know if any of that was right. Luke Bryan, still around. How about that?
Oh, sure. You know, and it's going back to the awards, that it's such a tricky award to try to figure out where I fall with it. Because there were times, and I think this is an ACM. I don't think this is a CMA award. I think this is an ACM. Of the Entertainer of the Year, I thought should go to an entertainer. And there are a lot of country music artists that are great performers and great musicians, but not great entertainers. that put out great music that I wouldn't pay to go to a concert for because they're just going to like sit there on a stool. I don't consider that part of entertainment.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that they aren't a great artist. That doesn't mean they didn't create great music that should be recognized for their greatness. But I wouldn't call that entertaining.
Yeah.
It's kind of the MVP versus what's the most valuable player versus like player what's actually the most valuable to a team. Like the year Peyton Manning got hurt for the Colts and they went from a Super Bowl contender to getting the first number one overall pick.
Like back in 2014 when Blake Shelton won Vocalist of the Year, but Luke Bryan was the entertainer.
Exactly. Along those lines. Blake Shelton is a very tall glass of water.
Clint talks about this year all the time. He thought Zach Brown Band should have beat Little Big Town for Vocal Group of the Year. I mean, that's all he talks about whenever he's walking up and down the halls. Is that enough for you, Clint? You have your own show coming up.
Speaking of Luke Bryan.
Sorry.
Our junior prom, or our prom, was the same weekend that Luke Bryan was in our town. So a lot of us did not go to prom. We went to the Luke Bryan concert.
Oh, there you go. Come on, man. You can't break 103 frames, 90 max. Okay, you're right. Because it's a 30, 60, 90 in the three frames, but you've then got to have strikes in your next two as well to technically break. I was, I guess, exaggerating a little, but I get it. You need at least four. Then it's 30, 60, 90, 120 in your next frame if you get two strikes on the next two balls, which would then be your fourth and fifth frame. But I digress. Which is what we do a lot around here.
Yeah. Hey, you want an update on Scottie Scheffler?
Sure.
He's still at one under par.
One under.
For the day. Yeah. A hot start after getting to the course on time to get his round underway. He went birdie, bogey, birdie on his first three holes and it's just been steady Eddie the rest of the way. He's about to finish up his front nine on a very uneventful day for Scott Scheffler at Valhalla in Louisville, Kentucky at the PGA Championship.
Very good. Raider's dad asked, does Jess X reside still in Lubbock? I don't know where she is. Last I heard, she was in San Antonio. But I got no idea. She could be back in town. I have no idea. Like, no clue whatsoever. If she were to call me today, I would still answer the phone. If she were stuck on the side of the road and needed, you know, help getting to wherever to get her car fixed, I would answer that phone call. But I have no idea where she is or what she's doing or who she's doing it with. That's none of my concern, and I got other things to worry about, like my own dog and my life going forward. Bad blood between Irving and the Celtics.
And Luka and Porzingis.
Porzingis, that's okay. Yeah. Will be a dramatic finalized matchup. Can't wait.
I can agree with that.
Here's the thing. Porzingis didn't do anything for the Mavericks.
Here's the other thing. I really don't want Kyrie Irving to win. So
there is an element of, like, I'm surprised how well it's worked for the Mavericks this year compared to how bad it went for the Mavericks last year. Benchwarmers, in the spirit of your luncheon, burger or hot dog? I'm a hot dog guy first.
I'm going hot dog there.
I'm not anti-burger, but I'm pro-hot dog. Lucas, burger or hot dog?
Burger.
Well, go get you one. It's the end of the bench on 100.7 The Score. That does it for us. Guys coming in next are the bottom liners. They'll get back to talking about what you want to talk about, I promise. It's 100.7 The Score.
Scotty Draft coming up.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.